ask you to turn with me to Hebrews chapter 5. I'll be reading verses 1 through 14. The focus will be upon verses 11 through 14. Hebrews 5. For every high priest taken from among men is appointed for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. He can have compassion on those who are ignorant and going astray, since he himself is also subject to weakness. Because of this is required as for the people, so also for himself to offer sacrifices for sins. And no man takes the honor to himself, but he who is called by God, just as Aaron was. So also Christ did not glorify himself to become high priest, but it was he who said to him, "You are my son, today I have begotten you." As he also says in another place, "You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek," who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and was heard because of his godly fear, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him, called by God as high priest, according to the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Let us pray. Lord our God, we do now pray that by grace, a work of the Holy Spirit, that you'd give us ears to hear your word. Lord, deliver us from the dullness of hearing your word. Open your word to us. Open our hearts, our minds to your word, and we do pray in the name of Christ. Amen. The great Charles Spurgeon said that the Christian is bred by the word of God and fed by the word of God. We are bred, made Christians by God's grace through the word of God, the revealed Christ in the scriptures, and then we are fed as Christians by the word of God. So here we have a problem. The writer of Hebrews hasn't come right out and said until now, but has implied it. These Christians are having a difficult time, a spiritual problem, in the face of their tribulation. They are tempted to turn from Christ and go back. You look, for instance, at verse 1 of chapter 2. They are told by the apostle to pay close attention to the message you've heard, lest you drift away. 3:1, consider Jesus, who is faithful as the Son. 3:8, do not harden your hearts as Israel did in the wilderness. Chapter 3, verse 12, take care lest you have an evil heart of unbelief. 4:1, fear lest you fail to enter God's rest. 4:11, be diligent to enter God's rest lest you fall by disobedience. Verse 14 of chapter 4, hold fast to your confession. So we can see here that the writer is concerned about something going on among them. Before he gave them the cure, or some of it anyway, now he gives them the diagnosis and more of a cure. Look again at chapter 5, verses 9 through 10 with me, please. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him, called by God as high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Christ has been perfected, literally completed, as a Savior through his suffering in the flesh. He has therefore become the author and perfecter of our salvation. He has been designated as our eternal high priest, according to or in the likeness of Melchizedek. And there are other places where Melchizedek is mentioned, for instance, in Genesis 14, Psalm 111, and another place in Hebrews. And then in 5:11, we read concerning him, that is Melchizedek, as a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've been talking about, well, we have much to say, and it's hard to explain, literally, since you have become dull of hearing. And so is the diagnosis. This is the spiritual disease, dullness of hearing. Do you have that disease? Do we? I know I do. I knew I struggle with it. So here's the problem. Dullness of hearing. That's what's behind all of these exhortations given to these believers. Pay close attention. Consider this. Don't harden your heart. Hold fast. They have this problem. Dullness of hearing. So what is he talking about? What does he mean? What does the disciple mean, the apostle mean, by this dullness of hearing? What is this disease of dullness of hearing? Do you have it? I think we all have it at times. What is it? It means, the idea, the word is to be sluggish, slothful, lethargic. It's found one other time in Hebrews chapter 6. Notice verse 12. That you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. In other words, the opposite of dullness of hearing is active diligence or earnestness to turn the message of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ into an assurance of Christian hope. It's based upon hearing, believing the promises of God, responding to them by faith. By faith. So what is this dullness of hearing? Does it mean something is wrong with your physical ear? Well, of course not. It means there's something wrong with your heart. The heart isn't eager. The heart is not diligent to embrace the promises of God given in His Word and turn them into faith and into patience, that is, endurance or perseverance. Instead, what happens to us, to all of us, to me as well? At one time or another, the gospel, the Word of God, comes into our ears, goes through our minds, to the heart, toward the heart, and then it hits something tough, something hard, and it doesn't get into the heart. That's dullness of hearing. We hear the promises of the gospel, comes to the ear, but there's no passion for them, no love for them, no hiding these things in your heart, no treasuring them as more precious than gold. You hear, but then there is no praying that the Holy Spirit would open to me the Word of God, were right upon my heart, the Word of God. There's no change, real change in my life from the heart. And there's no change in my thinking. No change, real change in my affections, in my desires. So what must we conclude? No growing in faith. No strengthening of faith. Dullness of hearing is a dangerous, dangerous disease, a spiritual disease. Widespread and deceptive, and a tragedy. And we all must be aware of this of being dull in our hearing, dull in our hearts. So many of us, so many suffering from what we call arrested spiritual growth, living the Christian life of perpetual infancy. What a powerful indictment, especially when you see you are slow to learn you are sluggish. They are spiritually lazy. They have become non-receptive. Isn't it true that when most first come to Christ and truly saved, truly converted, maybe you've experienced this, listen to the Word of God with just great intensity, and you're ready to soak it all in, all of it. You're excited. F.R. Weber, in his book, A History of Preaching in Puritan America, in about the 1700s, and I don't know if you've ever read about the Great Awakening under Jonathan Edwards, the revival that the Lord brought about through Jonathan Edwards. He said one of the products of this was a sudden interest in shorthand. Isn't that interesting? It's revival, 1700s, back east. Men and women studied shorthand. Why? He says. Why? Why? In order that they might take down the sermons that were stirring the English-speaking countries. This had happened once before in Scotland, and it made its appearance once more in all countries where the influence of the awakening, that is, the awakening there in New England, was felt. It was not at all unusual to see men with a portable inkwell strapped about them and a quill pen thrust over an ear, hastening to join the throng assembling on the village green. Anxious to hear the word of God. Put it down. But you see, as the newness died down, wore off, so did this interest, this great interest in listening to the word of God. Just so with, apparently, with these Hebrews. And it is so with so many today. To such people, it's hard to explain the deep, needful, important doctrine of faith. Faith, knowing Christ, truly knowing Christ, living for Christ, knowing the person of Christ. The Puritan Richard Baxter, in his book, great book, Directions for Profitably Hearing the Word Preached. They like that title. Directions for Profitably Hearing the Word Preached. Herein is wise advice for us all. Make it your work with diligence to apply the word as you are hearing it. Cast not all upon the minister as those that will go no further than they are carried as by force. You have work to do as well as the preacher, and should all the time be as busy as he, you must open your mouth and digest it, for another cannot digest it for you. Therefore, be all the while at work and abhor an idle heart in hearing as well as an idle minister. We talk a lot about it. We hear a lot about it. I mean, I hear a lot of complaints about ministers, and no minister is perfect, and no person minister is a perfect deliverer, and no person preacher has all everything exactly right. And sometimes he misses the mark, often misses the mark in preaching. But the hearers have a responsibility too, right? Come praying to the church, to the worship service, praying for the minister, praying for the preacher, praying for the preaching of the Word of God. So every member has a responsibility to consciously listen, to follow the points, to look up the references, to have in mind the theme, to make application of what you hear. Perhaps even if it helps, to take notes. And above all, to pray that the Holy Spirit would help you examine yourself as you hear the Word of God proclaimed. Then what of hearing? Hebrews 4:2, for we also have had the gospel preached to us just as they did, but the message they heard, literally the word of hearing, same as in 5:11, dull of hearing, the word of hearing did not profit them. Well, why did it not profit them? Why sometimes does the word of God not profit us? Because those who heard it did not combine it with faith. When we hear the word of God, it must go further than just through the ear. We must combine it with faith. So here is the same problem. The word of God, of good news, the word of God's promise, and a hearing, but no faith. What is this? It is dullness of hearing. The word goes into the ears, mind, comes to the heart, and it meets dullness. And the opposite of dullness of hearing is hearing with faith, which produces love for the Lord Jesus Christ, love for the Word of God, glorying in the grace of God. We see this back in chapter 3, look with me, chapter 3, verses 18 and 19. And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. And so we see that they were not able to enter God's rest because of their unbelief. But then notice the change of words from disobedience to unbelief. Because the root of all disobedience is what? I've preached this before. The root of all disobedience is unbelief. Do you realize that? Unbelief. We don't really believe God's word. We really don't believe what he says about sin. We don't really believe, as Jeremiah Burroughs, the great Puritan, who was also one of the divines for the Westminster Confession of Faith, his book, The Sinfulness of Sin. We don't really realize the sinfulness of sin, how it dishonors God, robs him of his glory. All disobedience really in the end is a lack of trust in God. We don't really believe what he says about sin, what sin is, how terrible it is, how it is an affront to a holy God, how, you know, it's a lack of trusting in God's promises, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting in the efficacy, the power of the word, work of the Lord Jesus Christ, how it is an affront to God the Holy Spirit. So you can see what dullness of hearing is and why it is so important to understand what it is and to diagnose it. So what is it? It is a kind of hearing with the ears. The ears pick up the sounds, but there is no response from the heart. There's no embracing the Word of God with faith. So what is the result? Tragically, it doesn't produce spiritual fruit. Especially within the context of the book of Hebrews, patience, endurance, perseverance in affliction. Perhaps you have wondered why you have not had as much spiritual fruit in your life as you wish you had. Could this be why? Are you dull of hearing? Do you come to church to hear the Word of God, perhaps even read it on your own at home, in your devotions, with your family, and yet you have little fruit as a result of all this? Could it be this? Could it be this? It's your dull of hearing. Are you reading God's Word? Are you listening to God's Word with faith? Are you praying as you read, as you hear, that God the Holy Spirit would open his word to you, and that you would not be dull in hearing, and that it would go straight to your heart? To use the Baxter, the great Richard Baxter's words, do you have an idle heart? That's the question right now. Is your heart idle as you hear, as you read the Word of God? And so dullness of hearing is what? In a nutshell, it is hearing the Word of God without faith, no personal faith, no searching the heart, no praying that God would search your heart through the hearing, the preaching of the Word of God. It's hearing the Bible or preaching the way you hear music in a dentist's office, doctor's office, on an elevator, while waiting on a phone, you know, on a phone call or somebody to help you. The way you hear recorded warnings, instructions on an airplane. How do you, you know what I'm talking about. You hear, but yet you do not hear. That's dullness of hearing. It doesn't awaken you to see Christ, to think of Christ, to apply Christ, what he has done. It doesn't produce fruit in your life. Listen to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, Luke 8:18. When he had finished telling the parable of the four soils, where the seed is the word. Therefore, that is, in conclusion, take care how you hear, for whoever has, to him shall more be given, and whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has shall be taken away from him. And what is he saying? That's a hard saying. I think it's this. If you have ears to hear with faith and fruit, you will get more grace. If you do not, even what you think you have will be taken away, namely the word, because you didn't care how you heard it. You didn't care. That's why it is important to us. That's why it is important that you and I hear, even now, that we be diligent and earnest in how we hear, that we do hear. Don't let your mind, your heart, lazily drift away. So what is the remedy for this dullness of hearing? It's a spiritual disease. Now what's the remedy? Verse 13b, look with me at that, the second part of verse 13 of our text. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. He is a babe. We have a person who is dull of hearing compared to this, to an infant, to a babe. An infant in Latin has the idea of not able to talk or not able to chew. Thus we have, as it says in verse 12, in need of milk. You don't have to chew milk. An infant is one who cannot chew. That's the meaning of the word. See, there's nothing diseased, nothing wrong about a baby's dependence upon milk. But it's another matter when a teenager or an adult is still on milk. That's the problem. It says in verse 12, by this time you ought to be teachers, but instead you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's Word all over again. In other words, the ABCs of God's Word, the rudiments of God's Word, as one person put it. So what's the remedy? Why are some Christians stuck at this baby stage of development with a disease of dullness of hearing? And what is the cure? Keep in mind that dullness of hearing is not a physical problem, but it is a spiritual problem. Dullness of hearing is a failure to make use of the Word of God that is heard, failure to nurture by the Word of God your faith, to hear the Word of God, to pray that God would write by the Holy Spirit, write His Word upon your heart and change your life, transform your life into obedient, loving disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Dullness of hearing is being passive, lazy, a sluggard, failure to reach out by faith and grasp and apply the promises of God. And so this is the key. Passivity that produces babies or keeps one in that condition. The key verse to describe the remedy is found in verse 14 of our text. Listen to that again. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. So the question is this. If solid food is not palatable, digestible, but for the mature, then with what food do you become mature? So that you can then eat the solid food. The answer is what? What's the answer? It is milk. You become mature with milk, says in verse 14. Solid food is for the mature. Milk. The rudiments of the gospel, that which was first preached to them, to these Hebrews. As we see again and again in the book of Acts, Peter, Stephen, Paul, that which they needed, instruction. They needed instruction again and again and again. So instead of going forward, they went back. So what is this solid food? It's clearly the mysteries of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Things that are difficult to understand, difficult to grasp. There are many, the Bible even uses the word mystery. Peter talks about these things. Many of these things are mystery. Mysterion, it's where we get our word mystery. It's a transliteration. There are mysteries to us, as the Trinity is, and the ways of God, they are full. It's full of mysteries for us. The Trinity is one of the biggest. John Brown, the great author, says that the author of Hebrews does not mean to deny that it was a matter of great importance that they should be instructed in the higher principles of Christianity, but merely to state that an elementary course of instruction better suited their present state of spiritual imbecility. Every Christian has need both of milk and strong meat in order to his coming to the measure of the stature of a perfect man. But some have more need of the one and others more need of the other. So you see the problem for these Christians. Not weak milk. The problem was they weren't exercising their Christian life, their faith, with the milk. They didn't exercise proper hearing of the Word of God so that the Word did not produce muscle, the muscle of faith. And the result of it? No acts of righteousness, no discerning good from evil. Verse 14 says literally they have their senses or faculties trained. That's the muscle that they needed. That's the muscle that we need. Have their minds trained. Have their perception of things trained by the Word of God and by the Word of God alone. So what do you do? What do we do in order to mature in our Christian walk? You mature not by skipping milk and going to solid food, but by how you drink the milk. What you do with the milk of the Word of God. And I would like, in closing, to suggest three steps to take on how to grow with milk to maturity. The remedy for dullness of hearing. First, drinking the milk means listen. Listen. Consciously listen to the milk of the Word, the message of God's promises in the gospel. You need them. You and I need to hear them again and again and again. We need to hear through preaching and through teaching. And you listen, and you pay attention, and you give heed, and you think about it, and you apply it to your heart. You meditate upon it. You don't just listen and then let it pass. Don't be passive. Digest the Word of God. What a crucial step this is. Failure to do this will stop you right in your tracks. Psalm 34:8 says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." When you hear the Word of God, do you digest it so that it satisfies you? Do you hear it with your mind, your soul, and your heart? When it satisfies you, then it will transform you, your thinking, your values, your priorities. Now with a heart satisfied with the Lord Jesus Christ, you learn to discern good and evil. You and I make perhaps some days hundreds of decisions, day in and day out, and most of them are not explicitly spelled out for us in God's Word. So how we need wisdom, discernment in regard to the use of our time, our vocation, insurance, retirement, business, how to discipline our children, what to do with our money, on and on and on and on. And many of these things are not spelled out for us in the Word, but it takes discernment. It takes wisdom built upon the principles from the Word of God. We don't have such a list for us, so we need this discernment. We need wisdom. We need biblical righteousness. How do you get it? Where does it come from? You get it from habitually, that is, by regular practice, nourishing and shaping your spiritual senses, your mind, your heart, desired by the Word of God. Until that Word becomes the Word of righteousness in your life, until it becomes a discerning power, a Word producing righteousness in the mature. This is the remedy for dullness of hearing. Drink with delight the milk of God's Word until the desires of your heart are so transformed that you more and more and more go to solid food, able to discern good and evil, then you and I will be more and more ready for more and more meat. Let us pray. Lord our God, Heavenly Father, we do thank you, praise your name for your word. Oh, how we pray, O Lord, that we would truly hear your word, not just with our physical ears, but with our spiritual ears, our hearts, our minds. We pray, Lord, that you would write your word upon our hearts, and it would transform us, make us wise before you, serve you with all our might. Love the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is in his holy name that we do pray. In his name we give thanks. Amen.